Well, welcome to our service. I do hope that you are keeping well in these days we're in. It is great to have you join, and it is, of course, great to join together to worship and praise God, because it is pleasing to him. A couple of notices before we get stuck in. Next Sunday, the 17th of January, the plan is to begin a new series in the book of Proverbs. And during this week coming, our small groups restart as well. Do let me encourage you to become part of one of those if you're not already. And lastly, do ask if you haven't had one of these yet. It's a nice glossy card with our verse for the year on from Psalm 91. And let's use this verse now to focus our minds on God. So let's read it together. Do join in as I read this Psalm 91, verse 2. It will come up on the screen. We'll read it together, then we'll have a moment of quiet before I pray. So let's read it together. Psalm 91, verse 2. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. Great God of all the earth, we bring ourselves before you today, and we want to come to you in praise. We want to spend time gazing at your majesty. We want to be refreshed and excited by you as we look upon your love, think upon your grace towards us in Christ Jesus. So, Father, we praise you. You are not just mighty, but you are almighty. You are all-powerful. You never decrease in power, you never increase. You always were, you always are, and you always will be. Pray that you would raise our eyes to see your wonderful strength, your provision and your care. And we ask that we would grow in the comfort and confidence of knowing you. That we would fix our minds on you now, and that we would bring you honour in this time, and that you, for us, would develop our trust in you. Strengthen and grow us for your glory, we pray. Amen. it's normally this time of the year, the first communion service back in January, when we think about our church covenant and we seek to respond as a church, as Christians together, to the amazing grace that we've just sung about, pledging our desire to follow Jesus in the coming year. Well, we can't really read the church covenant together as normal, but we can join in the singing, O Jesus, I have promised, which we'll do in a moment. But we can also think about our commitment to Christ over this past year. It has been a difficult year in many ways, and we may feel that rather than kind of flying in our faith, we've spent much time, sort of failing in our faith, stumbling, faltering, struggling. We may have found ourselves losing hope, losing focus, frustrated, perhaps even angry at times. In Psalm 73, the writer says in verse 21 that when his heart was grieved, his spirit became bitter towards God and he became senseless. Well, if we've lost our way a bit in this past year, if we've taken our eyes off Christ, slowed down in our following to a walk, perhaps ground to a halt, even started drifting backwards. Well, actually, if that's you, you're far from alone. And if that's you, you can come back. You can come back to the place of trust. You can come back onto the narrow path where the ground is sure and the direction straight, where you are living to please God. The psalmist's honest confession is followed by a great realization. Psalm 73, verse 23. He says, yet I am always with you. You hold me by my right hand. Did you get that? Although he struggled and felt distant, he realizes that God actually always had hold of him. And maybe this has been your experience this past year, because we've needed holding more than ever, really. And we do. And God does. He has hold of his people in a stronger way than actually we know. It's a hold strong enough to lift us out of the pit, taking the full weight of sin upon himself. It's a hold which God has on all of his people all of the time. He doesn't let us go. Verses 24-26. You guide me with your counsel, and afterwards you will take me into glory. Excuse me. Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Well, the best response each one of us can make in this coming year is to grasp him back, if you like, to take hold of him who has taken hold of us. Because we will be kept going by God in 2021. Because he holds us, we can hold him and we can keep going. We can keep drawing close, remain steadfast under trial, prove his love and mercy. We should put God to the test in the right sense of the word by obeying his word, walking by faith, not by sight, and then finding that he will not allow us to be tempted beyond our power and ability to remain firm in him. And he will work all things for the good of those who love him. And he will provide a way out. And he will provide a way on as well in every situation we face. We may well be going into this year more apprehensive than normally. But perhaps we will find this is the year actually where we grow more than most, because we lean on God more than we have. And we find that actually the struggles are what draw us closer to knowing and trusting God. And that we discover a deep joy. And we grow to be unflappable Christians, if you like. Because we know our Saviour. We know he holds us. And he will keep hold of us in this coming year, at all times, through all things. Let's sing two songs. The first is a song of commitment, to grasp him who has taken hold of us. O Jesus, I have promised. And then the second song is a plea for God to occupy our hearts, because we cannot follow in our own strength. O great God of highest heaven, do join in these songs.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you that we can come and talk to you because of Jesus' death on the cross. Thank you too that we are coming to the great Almighty God, who is the creator and controller of all things and all people. It is truly amazing that you are concerned with the sustaining of the huge universe, and yet you know each one of us by name. Knowing that you care for us gives us peace and hope for this new year. There are so many things in our lives that are uncertain, and it feels like shifting sand as the laws and guidelines change from week to week and sometimes day to day. But you are in control, and nothing that happens is a mistake, and so we are able to face 2021. We pray for our leaders in government. We would not wish to be in their shoes, but we pray that they will turn to you for wisdom. We pray for Christian MPs that their influence will be beneficial to decisions made. Please help us not to be critical of those making decisions, but to constantly pray for them. We ask you to have mercy on our nation. We have turned our backs on you, and your word is ignored. We pray that even now, the fear and uncertainty will cause many people to turn to you. Please help us to rejoice, pray, and be thankful every day in 2021. We ask this in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen.
Good morning. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the past year, which many of us, including our government, have found very difficult to cope with. Not because it has been difficult for us, but because during this year, we have grown to lean on you more with your everlasting faithfulness and goodness to us. We are so thankful that you called us to be your own children and how you have kept us together with the meetings. And we thank you for those who have put in so much effort to give us the opportunity to meet together. We remember your word, which tells us to be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus, and that the one who calls us is faithful and will do it. In this year, we trust that we will all learn, lean on you again, and look for your ways of dealing with us through this pandemic, which we pray will bring better times before long. We remember those living on their own, those in care homes who are unable to have visitors, all key workers, those working from home or unable to work. Please continue to remember teachers, parents and children with another period of homeschooling, and those students as they return to university. We do pray especially for Frank, that he will know God's peace and protection as he has to go through more treatment in coming days. We are thankful that the COVID vaccination is now available. We remember the NHS staff and all who work at our hospitals, as they are now overwhelmed with the amount of seriously ill patients. We pray that they will not catch the virus and be unable to work. We continue to remember local Christians and missionaries in countries where there are other problems in addition to COVID. All these things we bring before you, Heavenly Father, through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, for his sake. Amen.
Thank you.
Well, do take your Bibles and we're going to read together the whole of Psalm 91. Psalm 91. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you say, "The Lord is my refuge," and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you, no disaster will come near your tent. For He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because He loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Well, last Sunday morning, Peter Newton so helpfully preached to us from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 on setting course, getting the direction right for the year ahead. And this week, we continue to prepare our hearts for 2021 as we think about sheltering close to God. Now, I hope you got one of these recently, and you're able to put them up somewhere visible in your house. It's our verse for the year, and it's our text for this morning. And Psalm 91 is a famous and precious psalm, one which wonderfully answers the cries of Psalm 90. Relent, O Lord, how long? Satisfy us, make us glad. May the favour of the Lord rest upon us. See, the longing of these cries are met in Psalm 91 as we see the godly person taking shelter in the shadow of the Almighty, casting themselves in personal trust on the covenant-keeping God of the Bible. This psalm is a promise for the person who reaches and runs to God in genuine faith and who lives their lives leaning on the Lord. It's a wonderfully comforting psalm of assurance which we want to make our own today and tomorrow in this coming year and all our days, of course, until we enter into the physical experience of this psalm fully. I'm going to pray briefly before we get stuck into the psalm. Holy Spirit, would you quicken our minds and hearts now to hear your word rightly and to be touched by it? Would you affect our thinking, our feelings, and our conduct by your mighty power, which is at work through your word? Amen. Now, in 1527, Martin Luther wrote the hymn, a mighty fortress is our God. Do you know why? Well, it was because sweeping across the land in 1527 was a bubonic plague. It was engulfing Europe. People were getting very ill. People were dying. And there were lots of deaths in Wittenberg, Germany, where he and his family lived. So people were leaving, and his dilemma was to stay or to go, to leave or to fight it out. This plague was spread by fleas and then transmitted through the air, person to person. And though they did not know that then, what they did know was that being in the presence of a person who was ill was very dangerous. One medieval doctor theorized that instantaneous death occurs when the airborne spirit escaping from the eyes of the sick person strikes a healthy person standing near. So the wisdom was stay away. The result was that healthy people did all they could, on the whole, to avoid the plague. Shops closed, streets emptied, people fled towns and cities, leaving behind the sick and the dying. But Martin Luther refused to leave. Instead, he opened his home as a sort of Nightingale hospital. And it was a very challenging time, as you can well imagine. His wife was on the front line, and him himself, of course. And his young son became very ill and came very close to death. And it was during this difficult time he put pen to paper, fingers to lute strings in his case, writing and playing, "A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing, our helper he amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing." And of course, what a connection to our day as the coronavirus continues to sweep across the world. At the time of writing, Wednesday the 6th of January, there were over 30,000 people in UK hospitals with COVID. And in one day, there were 63,000 new cases and 1,041 deaths in the UK. In our country alone, 2.6 million have had the virus or have it. 75,000 have died. And across the world, 85 million have had or currently have the virus. And 1.8 million have died. The numbers are stark. The future challenging. What can keep the soul? What can guard the heart? Bring rest and stillness to our troubled minds. Psalm 91, verse 1. "Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty." My comfort, says the psalmist, is that there is a shelter. There is a place of rest, and it's in the Most High God of all the universe. What a discovery. What a statement this is to treasure. That the person who dwells in the shelter of the Most High finds peace. Finds that they are under a very, very large covering of comfort. God himself hiding people from danger. I have mixed memories of a university outdoor education weekend in Wales, because for one of the nights, our group was assigned the task of building a shelter in the woods in which we were to sleep. We needed the right place. We needed to use the equipment, tarpaulin given in the right way. We needed to make various considerations. We ended up needing to sleep in a conveniently close by brick hut kind of thing. The wise and experienced leaders had chosen the location well, because what we needed actually was a solid shelter. And where we shelter in life is key, our go-to. Where what we make our dwelling place is absolutely vital. And the call of the psalmist is for each of us to discover that the Most High, the Almighty, he's not just mighty, he's the mightiest. He is the place to find rest. Why? Because the Creator God of the universe is immensely strong. So verse 2, he talks of his confidence in the Lord, because he is my refuge and my fortress. A refuge, of course, is a place of safety and security. And the picture is of an unassailable or unconquerable stronghold or castle. Of a person running to God in a time of trouble and finding that all the things that would assault them, all the things coming at them to attack them, actually stop at the door, cannot get through the wall, because God is a place of security, protection from danger. He is a mighty border of great strength. A God so awesomely strong that, like a walled fortress, he surrounds those who make him the focus of their trust. Do you know this comfort for yourself? Do you have a confidence like the psalmist has? Can you say, he is my God? Is your trust exclusively in God? Have you entered into a saving relationship with God through Jesus Christ? Jesus is the front door. There's no other way to God than through Christ. And so has God become your refuge from sin, from evil? You continue to live close to God. Is he your place of confidence? As we face this pandemic, not to mention all the other things that come at us in life, we can do so with a quiet spirit of confidence in God. That we can truly sing through all the changing scenes of life, in trouble and joy, of his deliverance I will boast. And it's in times of trouble, it's in times like a pandemic, when we find out if we really are leaning on the Lord, really living for the Lord, or if our hope and confidence is in some way being attempted to be propped up by this fragile world. John Calvin said, when things are so confused that the heavens seem, as it were, to fall with great violence, the earth to shift out of its place, at the mountains to be torn up from their very foundations, if we continue to maintain a calmness and tranquility of heart, if in the general crash of the whole world our minds continue undisturbed and free of trouble, this is proof that we trust in God's power. Now, what comfort, what confidence this psalm brings. Because it's the promise that God will keep his people safe. And look with me at verse 3. Surely he will save you. Verse 9. If you say the Lord is my refuge, and you make the Most High your dwelling place, verse 10, no harm will overtake you, no disaster come near. This is some promise, isn't it? Is this your God in whom you trust? But how are we to understand this psalm? What does it mean? Because these verses bring a challenge of trust. Because surely this psalm isn't true, is it? Is this reality? Do we really have this level of protection? Because all people suffer, don't they? Christians included come to harm, sometimes more than others. Christians as well contract and die of the virus. Well, we know how Satan wants us to understand this psalm. We know how he wants us to read this psalm. How do we know that? Well, look with me again at verse 11 and 12. Do you recognize these verses? For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up with their hands, so you will not strike your foot against a stone. These are verses of scripture that Satan quoted to Jesus in Luke chapter 4 when tempting him in the wilderness. If you throw yourself off this high place, if you are the Son of God, well then Psalm 91 verse 11 and 12 will happen. You won't come to any harm. If God really loves you, and you really are who you say you are, well, he won't let you suffer because Psalm 91 says so. And it's a clever strategy of Satan, because he knows if he can get people thinking that it's all kind of cut and dried like this, that because, you know, they're Christians, you know, nothing really bad will happen to us. You know, little things maybe, but not, you know, big, really bad things. If you can get people believing that, well, actually, we're in trouble. Because when bad things do happen to us, then we're likely to take issue with God, to question his word, his trustworthiness. And it will be a victory for the devil, in the sense that he devours faith, like a lion prowling to devour faith, with this kind of deception. So what is this psalm saying? It seems to be saying that with God we are completely safe. And it is. And it does mean that. But we hold the whole Bible together. We read the Bible as one, allowing the Bible to interpret itself, which it does. So as we look through Scripture, we see this psalm can't mean that God will make us physically untouchable on this earth. It can't mean that we can go around, verse 13, treading on lions, playing with poisonous snakes. You know, that if we just trust in him, you know, we're safe from the virus. It can't mean that. But what we do see everywhere in the Bible is what the psalmist says in verse 15. God's saying, I will be with you in trouble. At the end of Joseph's up and down life, after abuse from his brothers, falsely accused and convicted, put in prison, right at the end, he looks at his brothers, doesn't he, who had done all this to him. And he says to them, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. You did what you did with wrong motives, but God allowed it. Because if you had not done what you did, if I had not been enslaved, sent to Egypt, imprisoned, I wouldn't have been able to rise to be prime minister and save many and my own family and God's people. See, God was keeping Joseph safe when he was sold into slavery. He was actually keeping the brothers safe through Joseph's imprisonment. In hindsight, Joseph saw that God was working all these things together for good, which is what Paul says in Romans 8, verse 28, that God works all things together for good for those who love him not that all things are good, but that God works all things so that in the long run, which we'll only be able to see looking back, we'll see that he has arranged all things for his glory and our good. All things, including the difficult things and especially the difficult things. The paradox is that God makes us safer through suffering. So why didn't Jesus entertain the devil's twisting of Psalm 91, verse 11 and 12? If he loves you, he won't let you be harmed. Because Jesus knew it wasn't true. In fact, the opposite was true, wasn't it? Jesus knew he would and would have to come to great harm. To death, in fact, on a cross, precisely because of God's love. We are ultimately safe because of Christ's suffering for us. We are safe from the greatest harm. We are safe from the greatest disaster, which is the judgment coming to each one in their sin. We are safe from the greatest enemy, Satan. And we are safer, more comforted and more confident by God bringing things into our lives which actually get us running to him, trusting him. And we will ultimately be delivered by God through Christ, who was, verse 15, delivered from death with honour, satisfied with long life, shown salvation. Look with me at the imagery of verse 4 in the psalm, the mother bird and her chicks. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. When a mother bird covers the young, she becomes the substitute in a way. If it's hot, well, she takes the heat. If it's raining, well, she gets wet. If it's windy, she gets buffeted. Christ on the cross took what we deserved. So when we believe on him, when we make God our dwelling place, we're spared the heat and we're kept safe. Now, sure, the mother bird pushes the young out of the nest, but that's for their good, isn't it? And she, the carer, is the one doing it. And that's similar, because in a similar way, when we make God our dwelling place, we couldn't be safer. Because all that comes our way is from him and worked together by him for our good. If on the other hand, in 2021, we live for career, comfort, food, health, the vaccine, if anything other than God is our place of safety, what have we got left when they're gone? We can live boldly and confidently if God is our dwelling place. If we have true faith in our hearts, then there is a faith in God in our hearts, even in the valley. A trust that goes way beyond the hope of everything being back to normal soon. A trust and a confidence that stretches. A hope that goes beyond this world even. It's the hope of glory. The wonderful hope, this wonderful hope, comes through Christ's triumph, being our triumph if we're joined to him. That even in the face of difficulty, struggle, even facing near death or death itself, with Christ we rise above, ride through, are kept, and will one day, like him, be fully delivered out of sin and death. To live is Christ, to to die is gain. To face death is to be seconds away from being transported into the very presence of God. It is to be moments from the eternal rest alluded to in this psalm. It is seconds from the physical presence of the Almighty who cares and keeps his people from sin and evil. It is to be in his presence, praising, serving him for all eternity round the throne. Do we share the psalmist's comfort, confidence, and trust that the Almighty is our refuge and our fortress in this year to come and beyond? Let's be quiet for a moment. Take a moment with the Lord. I'll read some words of a song and then we'll sing a song. Be still, my soul, be still, my soul. Though battles round you rage and roar, one thing you need, nothing more, is to hear the whisper of your Lord. Be still, my child, I know your way, and I will guide for my name's sake. Plunge in the river of my grace, rest in the arms of my embrace. Let's go out on a note of confidence. Do join in the singing. There is a hope that burns within my heart. And after we've sung, I will close in prayer.
Thank you.
my great joy to be with you this morning. Let me encourage you after the service to read Psalm 91 quietly and prayerfully, joyfully. And let's pray now as we close. Father, we thank you so much for the immense hope that we have in you through Christ. Thank you that we can persevere because you have hold of us. And we pray that we would use the means of grace that you put at our disposal, that we would be in prayer, that we would seek fellowship through the possibilities we have, small groups, prayer meetings, prayer triplets, services, preaching. We pray that we would use these opportunities to get alongside others who will encourage and strengthen us. And we would know encouragement, perseverance and strength in this coming year. Father, we know that everything is in your hands. The virus will probably take a while. It may take a lot longer than we expect. Let us not make it the thing in our lives, but let us make our worship and wonder and service of you the goal. And let us be active people. Let us be encouraging others, we pray. Let us be perhaps sending out some of these cards with this verse on, with a note for friends and family to encourage them. Let us be your people, full of trust, full of confidence, full of joy, because you, God, are our God in whom we trust. We ask this in your wonderful name. Amen.